one of our own on WNR.
The sound of Waterford. WLOR. WLOR.
In this third program from the second series of One of Our Own, Ciara Conway is interviewed by Catherine Foley about her life as a Labour TD. Roseanne Foley recorded and edited the series, which is produced by An Corsacock.
This was made with funding from Comisión na Mban and the television licence fee.
Ciara Conway, a former Labour TD for Waterford, an activist and a mother, told me first about her Dungarvan roots and where her political life began.
I actually was born in Airmount in Waterford City, and in 1980, so, and to Joe and Noel Conway. And my mum's family originally are from Calbrew and then Thomas's Terrace in Dungarvan.
So the heart of Dungarvan.
The heart of Dungarvan, but even better, my father's from Mary Street. So, and my grandfather and grandmother ran a butcher shop there, and my grandfather was known as Joe the Lamb Conway because that was his speciality.
And what was your mother's maiden name?
Noonan. She was Noonan. She was one of the Noonans, yeah. My grandfather's name was Paddy Noonan, and he died before I was even born. And he worked in the leather factory in Dungarvan. And the saying was, join the union, says Paddy Noonan. So the other side is of my family were very involved with Fine Gael. So my nanny and grandpa, they were very political. They were very involved.
Ciara recalls home life when her parents were both busy people working full time.
Dad was a secondary school teacher. He went to college in UCC, and Mam went to Dublin to do her nursing. And at the time, I think, couldn't get a post as a general nurse. So the mental health services at the time were recruiting for psychiatric nurses, and she did her training in Waterford. And so they bought a house and started their life in Tramore, in Ellen Park. I think they met working in the old LNN in Dungarvan, stacking shelves. They're going out with each other a long, long time. They probably wouldn't like me to say how long. And but my father was a brilliant swimmer in the old swimming pool in Dungarvan. And I think that's where, you know, he probably caught my mother's eye, was down there. So we were really involved with the Irish water safety, always doing the swimming lessons over in the pier and in Tramore, and the life saving. But also the road that I grew up on in Tramore, loads of families of children. And we used to play like till the sun went down, tip to can, and just post
safe,
office.
Really safe,
a really lovely place to be. But I was an only child until I was about 8, and all the other houses were, it felt to me at the time, were bursting with children. And then we were really lucky. Both of my sisters are adopted. So they came then kind of pretty, when I was 9 and then again when I was 10, or 8 and then when I was 10. So I became a big sister really, really quickly, and I really loved that. Mm. And I was really, really happy about it. And then, as you know, often these stories go, I was an only child, and now I'm the oldest of 5, because my mom then had 2 boys. So Joe Oak, who was called after my father, and then Rory is the baby of the house. So it was a busy, busy house in Ellen Park and Tramore, the 5 of us. My mom and dad always worked, as they would have had to at the time. You know, I remember being really young, and like hearing them giving out about, mostly I have to say, Charlie Haughey, and about tax and their wages, and just things been hard for people who were working in the 80s. And the conversation always kind of stemmed maybe from what was going on in the television or what was going on in the news. And I suppose I was a peculiar child in one way. I did all the very normal things that everyone did, but I always was interested in current affairs.
Growing up in Tramore, Ciara recalls going to the local primary school there.
I went to Holy Cross in Tramore first, which was a new primary school at the time, and it was a mixed school and all of that. So I started school in 1984.
Ciara's political activism began at the tender age of 8.
My cousin Cleena in Abbeyside was an altar server, and I was living in Tramore, and no girls were allowed to be altar servers. So the Monsignor Shine at the time came to the school, and my love went suis, and Miss Ryan was like, oh no. And I said, well, why can't we have a female or girl altar servers? And he said, oh, we'd have to, he didn't quite say it's an ecumenical matter, but it wasn't far off it. So I wrote to the bishop
How old were you then? About
third
seven?
Class, about eight. Yeah, nine. Yeah, eight. And wrote to the bishop, was told they were taking it under consideration, but it was a local decision. Ultimately, they would have to decide. So I never got to be an altar server, but my sister, Dirren, and her friend, Catherine, I think they made a fortune. They must have served every funeral and wedding in Tramore for a long number of years.
After primary school, Ciara continued her education in Waterford City.
I decided to go to the Mercy in Waterford. And honestly, that was one of the best decisions ever. I loved school in there. I always say about the Mercy and the teachers that we had, they always kind of made us think that we could do whatever we wanted. Do you know, that if we worked hard and we were respectful of all people, that we, you know, that you'd get on and you'd get what you needed to do in life or whatever. And I always felt it was a place where there was no judgment and there was absolutely great crack. There was like a real mix of people from the city, from the county. And I got involved with two other girls at the time. The French government were doing some nuclear testing in French Polynesia. And I think we might have been in second or maybe third year. And we organised a petition against this. These nuclear tests.
Grace O'Sullivan was out there at this stage,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah,
as well.
She would have been.
So maybe your awareness was
heightened by all of that. But also, there was a teacher, Emma Verling. She was just an incredible woman. She taught us for history, and we did a project on gender equality in Ireland, and we won an award for it. And we went up to Dublin to get the award. And it was from Niamh Brannock. So that was kind of the start of it. And then when I was in transition year, I went to live in France for a year. Again, through a family friend, Jean-Marie Le Pen, who's the leader or was the leader now, his daughter of the very right-wing group in France, had their national conference in Strasbourg. And so this family that I lived with were going on this march and I went with them. And
it's amazing how you can become politicised by something like that and it'll impact on you for
your whole life.
Your life.
Yeah, 100%. But I always had that thing about gender equality and about, I didn't know the words then, but about feminism, really. It was just there. I don't know how to describe it.
At third level, Ciara went to NUI Galway and studied for a degree in public and social policy.
Did you get involved in politics at third level?
This is so random, but Sabina Higgins, Michael D, our president's wife, was a mature student in Galway and she was in my class. And if anybody will tell you, the mature students are great for the note-taking and sitting up the front. And I got chatting to her because I was looking for notes because I'd missed a lecture. And she just said to me, oh, I've heard you speak in class. I think you should think about joining the Labour Party. And that's how it all happened.
And she heard you speaking. Why had you been speaking? Just asking a question or were you making a point?
I know at the time there was a lot of talk about the establishment of quangos. That was the big thing about this kind of hollowing out of the state's responsibility and giving them to state agencies. And we were kind of, you know, as you do in college, talking about the political theory behind that. Why would you do it? Why would you not do it? And I have no idea what I said, but she said,
amazing,
yeah, that I should think about joining that. And I did.
Ciara looked at a number of other political parties before she made her decision.
I actually did go to a Fianna Fáil Ardèche just to see what it was all about. And I didn't like it at all. I didn't like what I heard. I didn't like how it felt. I didn't like, you know, but it was really entertaining. It was really, and lovely people, but it just didn't suit me. And then I went to college, and I joined Labour Youth in, it just felt more like the kinds of things they were talking about, the kinds of changes they were trying to make around women's rights, around access to, you know, at the time, to condoms and to all that kind of stuff. It was all the Labour Party that were leading on that, and that's really what felt like was important to me at that time anyway.
So what year was that, Ciara?
So that was kind of 1999 is the year I did my Leaving Cert, and I was there then. I graduated in 2002. So then I had my daughter at the end of that year. And I went straight from there in 2002 to UCC and I did a master's in UCC. And I was there, I did a master's in social work from 2002 to 2004. Couldn't have done it without the support of my mum and dad and all my brothers and sisters.
And what's your daughter's name?
Her name is Ava May. She's 21 now and in college in Trinity in Dublin. She's a great understanding of politics, a great interest, but also has seen, and you know, the kind of the toll it took on us as well. So
yeah, the sacrifices.
And I think she probably made the biggest one of all. So that, and that's hard, but she's brilliant. She's absolutely brilliant and she's a great girl. No, she's amazing.
Although Ciara loved her 2 years in UCC, I wanted to know how she managed to juggle her time there while being a young mother.
So you kind of do like 6 months in college, 6 months on placement, another six placement, and then you go back in to write your thesis. And I worked in the probation service in the courts in Waterford and in the mental health services in Waterford. So, and I really enjoyed my time doing that. The probation service in particular was a really interesting role, really, really, and really, really good for me as well, I think, in terms of just practical, you know, about report writing and how it all worked and all the rest of it. So it was a great time.
Ciara was in her 20s when she was first elected as a local representative to Dungarvan Town Council in 2009.
It was the first time standing and I, you know, got over the quota on my first try. Like, so it went really well and all down a lot to who my family were and so because they knew who I was and the connection and all of that. And it was incredible because we'd moved.
And were you still moving in or living in Tramore?
No, so we'd moved to Dungarvan at that stage. Yeah, so we're back living in Abbeyside, I should say, not Dungarvan. And we were back living there then and... Yeah, and I loved that. I loved my time on the town council.
2011, an election year, and Brian O'Shea, the Labour TD for Waterford, decided to step down. Ciara got the nod from the party and her name was put on the ticket.
Brian O'Shea, who was the incumbent TD and had been there for near on 30 years between the Shannon and whatever, and he had been always, he's a Tramore man. Well, Waterford City man, but lived in Tramore with his family. So we knew him really well. Lovely man, but he decided he didn't want to stand.
It's a huge commitment.
Huge commitment. Right. Huge, huge commitment. Mm. And how he did it for so long, I'm sure, you know, thanks to his wife and his children and, you know, and represented the party and represented Tramore and the people in Waterford so, so well for so many years. At that time, I think I was working for Bernardo's and I remember it really well. Focus Ireland at a meeting in Dublin and my phone rang and it was one of the organisers from the Labour Party saying, go home quick and get some photographs taken. And I said, for what? And he said, you're going to be one of our candidates in the general election. I said, but really? I was like, okay. And I just kind of didn't question it too much. And I thought, all right. And then
I suppose you've got people vying for that, for the nomination to put forward. And here they were. You're it.
Yeah. So I had done an interview, but I didn't think I would be selected, you know, with a selection kind of committee. And then it would have to go to convention within the constituency. But yeah, no, so myself and then I had a running mate, Seamus Ryan, brilliant Labour man, brilliant, still on Waterford City Council, who's represented the party for a long, long number of years. We had our election campaign, and I suppose looking at it at the time, you would have thought Seamus would have, you know, been the incumbent and I was kind of the sweeper. But just whatever way it went that year and whatever way the votes fell, I was elected. I took the third of the fourth seat. So, and actually, if you think about it, like the odds were kind of stacked against it. I was a young woman. There hadn't been a woman TD in Waterford for near on 50 years.
In the Labour?
For anybody.
Really?
Yeah, before that. Because the last one was Bridget Redmond, and she was the wife of Redmond who had passed. So, and that was often the way that if somebody died in office, the widow would stand. Yeah. And she was the last before me. So incredible, really. And my...
when you were elected that night, were you terrified? Were you thrilled? Were you daunted?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I was like, I wasn't. I remember WLR and RTE and all. Like, it was totally alien to me. All of these people vying to talk to me, and I kept saying, "No, I don't want to talk to you. I'm not saying anything till it's read out. Like, I can't. I don't know if this is going to happen." And as the night went on, and as the count came in, and I think it was about 20 past four in the morning. So Thomas Cashin, actually, who I mentioned earlier, he's my daughter's godfather, and he stayed at home and minded her. And all she remembers is they got pizza and got to, but they, you know, so it was myself, my mum, dad, all my brothers and sisters were there. And the members of the Labour Party, the local members of the Labour Party, who were brilliant. My name was called out. And I do remember, though, saying, if I am elected, I do not want to be pushed up into the air like they do.
Yes.
I don't. That wouldn't be me at all. Yeah. So they didn't do that. We jumped around and we were really, really proud. And yeah. It was an incredible moment, really. And actually, I do remember two friends of mine from secondary school who had been at a nightclub. And they were kind of texting me saying, like, what's going on? Wouldn't have any interest or in politics. And they did, I think, come into the Count Centre as a, you know, with the bottles of Bulmers under their jackets, just in case I wanted to celebrate.
You were so young.
Yeah, so young. Yeah. Yeah. So we had, it was incredible. Like, and then
how young were you then?
I was just 29, 30. Yeah. So I was 30. And then that night, that morning, I was on Morning Ireland, which again, to me, was just like, how is this happening? Something I always listen to every morning. And it was myself and I think Arthur Spring and maybe another somebody, because there had been a lot of new TDs were elected in 2011. Unfortunately, we weren't re-elected in 2016, but as I've since found out, that's politics.
Yeah.
I was curious to know what Ciara's first day in the Dáil was like.
I remember the first day I was elected was the first time I was ever in the Dáil. I'd never been there before. So even just, you know, I remember driving in through the gates on Kildare Street and Tony Heffernan, who was the press officer, long serving, he came down and met me to literally show me where to go because I had no clue. But yeah, no, I suppose as things started to fizzle out and, you know, you put yourself forward, then as I found out, everything is politics and everything is votes. So I really was interested in my background being in health and in children's rights. So I actually went forward and became vice chairperson of the All-Party Committee on Health and on Children. And so that was my kind of, because we were in government, and I always think, you know, and my now husband, who I met in the Dáil, he voted against going into government. And I voted to go into government, and he often holds that over me and said, see, you should never have gone into government. But because there was no kind of spokespersons or whatever. So I always felt that was a bit of a miss, that we could have maybe done more because the ministers were so busy with everything that was going on in the country in 2011. I mean, we looked back at reeling in the years and you look like it was such a tumultuous time. Not even in Ireland, but in across Europe, across the Arab Spring, everything that was happening globally and the financial markets and everything. And for individuals and unemployment, it was just such a really difficult time that you felt that sometimes you didn't always have the impact that you could have had because there were more important things, there were more pressing things that were happening. So that's always a little bit of a regret that we didn't maybe get to do the kinds of things and changes that we wanted to do.
While still a TD and very much in the public eye, the marriage of Ciara and Gary Honer took place, and it was a high-profile wedding widely reported.
Gary Honer.
Yeah, that's right.
And where did you meet him first?
So Gary...
He's another Labour man.
Yeah, another Labour man, yeah. He worked for one of the other TDs in the Dáil, Eric Byrne. And I think we met in the photocopying. I didn't know how to use anything, of course, and he showed me how to do it. And yeah, I had always kind of known him, though, from Labour Youth and stuff like that, vaguely or whatever. But yeah, no, we did. We started going out and we got married then in 2013. And yeah, we just celebrated 10 years. So yeah, just in December. So no, it was great. And actually, we talk about that a lot. Because there were so many young people elected to the Dáil, there's been quite a few marriages have come out of that time in office. And I think it's probably because we were all a little bit traumatised. We were all brought together. Then there was all this kind of commotion at the start about, you know, doing your maiden speech and what would your maiden speech be about? And yet again, these things had happened. So Simon Harris was the youngest male TD and I was the youngest woman. So he nominated Enda Kenny to be Taoiseach and I seconded it. So that was it. So I got my maiden speech out of the way within 10 seconds of landing inside in the Dáil. So another one of those things that just happened to me, kind of, you know, but an incredible, you know, opportunity to be able to do it. And in a way, it was great to get it over and done with, the maiden speech.
So were they very intense, those 5 years in the Dáil?
Yeah, no, there were. There was a lot of things going on locally in Waterford as well. A lot, you know, and a lot of people feeling that we, you know, that we weren't been represented. They weren't been represented strongly enough or well enough.
So they were kind of campaigning you?
There was a lot of things going on. There was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of, like, cuts, and you know, there was you know, difficult decisions that had real impact on real people's lives, and that was hard, you know, really hard. And you know, I certainly never took any of those decisions lightly, but yeah, there was a lot of protests. I mean, I think it probably got most difficult, and it's no secret, around the water charges. And like, I often felt very personally unsafe around that. And I actually just saw in the papers, I think yesterday, that Holly Kearns, the new leader of the Social Democrats, that she's been advised not to do clinics. And I definitely remember being too afraid to do clinics at times as well.
Feelings were running so high, you were afraid for your safety.
Oh yeah, and I mean, this is the first interview I've done, I think, with anybody since I've lost my seat. And I've been approached quite a few times, but the abuse. But the abuse and stuff that I got online, people to this day still say, wow, like, it was immense and it was awful. And it was so awful for my family. Whatever about me, I was the one who got myself into that situation, but it was awful. And people were hurting, I guess, but people were very nasty and mean. And there was like, and I don't think that men would ever be threatened with sexual violence like the way women are. And that is something that I was threatened with quite a bit.
So sad.
Yeah, it's awful. Yeah, and about your appearance and about all of those things that, you know, that just don't really factor when it's a male TD. But
so when the government ran its course, and was it a conscious thing to stand again, or what happened?
Yeah, so I did stand again, and I kind of knew, like, you know, it was a wing and a prayer. And for me, I'm still a member of the Labour Party, and I'll always be a member. And I'm sad the way the Labour Party has gone, because I think there's some really good people in there who, you know, are kind of knitted into their community and are doing the work anyway, but don't always get the recognition, and that's really hard. But yeah, no, I didn't get re-elected.
And on foot of what you say about all the abuse and the threats, the sexual threats and all of that, were you relieved as well, Ciara?
It took me a lot, you know, honestly, it's only taken me, I would say, in the last year, maybe 2 years. Like, there were still places I was afraid to go to, still people I was afraid to meet. There's still people I've lost, like, family relationships over it and everything. Like, it really, people, you know, it ran very deep for some people. And for me, so, and for my daughter, I think that's my biggest regret, is that I had to, you know, because just even to be, and I was a lone parent or whatever at the time, you know, you have to leave your constituency 2 or 3 days a week. And then we weren't a very popular government on top of that. Just makes you think, like, well, who's the system for? I don't think it's for women, the way it was set up. Because even in our own Waterford County Council, you know, the gender divide is, you know, it's blatantly tipping towards the male side, and has been it's been noticeable in Waterford, I think, actually, the lack of female representation.
Are you a member of Waterford County Council?
No, I'm not.
City,
No, nothing. No. There's no, I didn't stand again for the local elections, whatever. I wasn't able to. I couldn't face that again, you know. So yeah, there's definitely elements of it that I miss, but is it social media that people just feel they can say whatever they like, and to be honest, there's very little consequences. And I actually reached out to Mary Butler there a couple of weeks ago just to thank her, because she took a case against somebody who was giving her absolutely vile abuse, to thank her for doing it. Because
you don't think it's necessarily improved in any way, all this, the openness and women coming forward, just think it's as bad as ever?
I think it probably is. I mean, based on what Deputy Butler had to say, based on the fact that Holly Cairns, the leader of a party, has been told not to have clinics, like, that's so anti-democratic.
A damning indictment of our society. On a more positive note, I asked Ciara about what she is doing now.
I went back for a little while working for Bernardo's, which I loved. And then I got an opportunity to work in a healthcare company as a government affairs manager or as an advisor. So I work for a company called Baxter Healthcare, and it's actually really incredible. They do lots of services for people who can be treated at home. So maybe acute and chronic illnesses in the past that would have been in a hospital. So something like dialysis, you can have your dialysis at home. You can have IV antibiotics with no nurse.
So is your job to make government aware of this company?
Exactly, but also for us to look at what government policy is and how it aligns with our business. So we know that in Sláinte Care, we're trying to get more and more people out of hospital and, you know, treated in the community or in the home, and how I suppose industry and healthcare can work together with medical technology and all that kind. So it's a medical device company, essentially.
What do you do to replenish your soul, Ciara?
Yeah, so it goes back to the beach and the water. And I'm one of those people who was swimming before it became called, what's what they call it now?
Wild swimming
or whatever. Yeah, I was doing, because my neighbour in Tremor, Michael Fardy, he was like a daily swimmer in the Guillemine for years. And every now and then I might pop over with him. And I probably wasn't doing it as much as I should have, but for me, it was always going for a walk on the beach, going for a swim on the beach. And both of my children, they just, even when they were small, like winter or summer, they would always come home drenched because they wouldn't be happy unless they were got a soaking. So yeah, for me, it's that for definite.
This was made with funding from Cumasúna na Mban and the television license fee.